Ireland's classic hits radio. The last time this fellow was in studio, he was enjoying all the 80s and 90s music. And can I introduce you all to the Cork Person of the Year, Shane Casey. How are you, Shane?
I'm very good, Trina. How are you?
Are you mortified?
I am. I was a little bit embarrassed by it all the other day, and I got even a little bit emotional, but it's all settled down now, and I'm very happy and proud, really. It's been great.
So you're sharing that accolade with the likes of Roy Keane. Who else has it? A.D. Roach has it. There's loads of unbelievable people who've been named Cork Person of the Year. And this is because of your contribution to Irish entertainment, of course, Shane.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a couple of things. I do workshops in schools and stuff as well. So they did tie in a couple of things. It's not just the Billy Murphy fella, but I suppose that's a big part of it. And sure, look, it came to me a few years ago when I was at a screening of the bus episode that Pascal Sheehy turned around to me and he said, look, the family sit down together to watch the show. So I owe a debt of gratitude to Peter Foote and the Young Offenders and, of course, my fellow cast members, because if it wasn't for Chris and Alex making the film such a success, nobody would know who Shane Casey is, and they certainly wouldn't know who Billy Murphy is, or vice versa.
Because you were actually in The Wind That Shakes the Barley.
I was a long time ago. That was a fantastic experience. So I suppose the irony of me getting Cork Person of the Year and Killian winning an Oscar last year and him not getting isn't lost on me. So look, you have to take these things with a pinch of salt as well, but I am very proud. My family are really happy with it as well, and it gives them a bit of a boost. And but you know, as I said the other day, I still have to bring out the bins. So Cork people are very good at grounding you, and they're very good at grounding you, but you know what, they've been very good over the last few days and contacting me and sending me well wishes, and it's been an honour and a privilege, and hopefully, you know, I can do them proud over the next couple of years, and hopefully we'll get a bit more work as well, you know.
Oh, no, it's absolutely fantastic. It's great to be recognised as well. So, you know, obviously we always talk a lot about Billy Murphy and, hey, I'm Billy Murphy. No, I'm Billy Murphy. But tell me about these workshops that you do.
Yeah, they're about resilience and communication. I suppose it's basically the guy from television rocking up at your school. So there's a bit of a shock tactic. We've done a couple of corporates as well, so we're looking into that. There's a few more of those coming in at the moment. But it's me kind of telling stories from my life, because I'm an early school leaver, and about how to become a little bit more resilient and how to communicate a little bit better. It's basically a bunch of stories from my life. So the subtext is kind of mental health and stuff like that. But it's nothing too heavy. It's just like, look, I know there's an abundance of people out there who are dealing with difficult issues in their own life. So those people can tell me about resilience, really. And they do seem to be kind of buzzwords for the last few years. And everybody's a little bit sick of the whole mental health kind of side of things. There's mental health fatigue. But, you know, it is important. I have the opportunity to go in and say, look, I'm an early school leaver. I didn't really have a good time in school, but, you know, I did turn things around a little bit. And if you are having difficulties in your workplace or in college or wherever, that, you know, you should just go and find somebody who can maybe help you, and don't be embarrassed in asking for help, you know.
Yeah. What year were you in when you left school?
Fifth year. I only had a year and a half to go, and I just felt, you know, I should leave. And it was all due to a misunderstanding, really. And it's a long story, but essentially it was a misunderstanding, because somebody stood on the back of a teacher's leg, and I have a tendency to be a little bit flippant, and when the student came back in at the end of the class, I said something kind of silly. I was trying to be sarcastic to the student and help the student feel a little bit better, but unbeknownst to me, the teacher was listening on, and that's where the misunderstanding kind of really happened, and it kind of grew wings and legs, and I wasn't really in the position to kind of go looking around the school for help, so I didn't really get help, and I just decided, look, it'd be better off for me to leave, and I did, and I took up an apprenticeship, but 4 or 5 years later, I decided painting and decorating really wasn't for me, so I got back into my hobby, which was acting, and I went to college, and I've had a great time. But everything that happens to you in life, as you know yourself, kind of serves you. So the painting and decorating has served me. And my little story has, I believe, helped one or two people over the years. So that's kind of rewarding when people realise, okay, maybe I should just go and get a little bit of help for this, or talk to somebody about that. And that's a big part, I think, of last week's shenanigans, really, you know.
Isn't it funny then, you know, to be in the Young Offenders, and the fact that Connor, you know, in the Young Offenders is such a messer in school. Do you know? And you got into a bit of bother in school. Do you think that would have been something that would have blown over after a while, or did you feel like you'd no choice but to kind of leave?
I kind of, you know, I suppose I'm a bit older now, I can reflect on it. I think what was happening really was I was going through a bit of grief. I'd lost an uncle that I was quite close to, and my grandmother, all within a short period of time. So with that kind of situation, you're not really moving forward. You can kind of stop. You can kind of go a little bit backwards. I suppose it's quite like COVID, the way, you know, we had a lot of teenagers who missed out on going to discos and missed out on, I don't know, chatting up girls and playing matches and stuff like that. So everybody I see, whether it's even in college, they know people who are 21 going on 17. That was kind of happening to me at the time as well, because I was going through grief. So I think if my own personal life was going a little bit better at the time, I probably would have had the tools to resolve my problems, you know. So it's kind of addressing that a little bit, you know. I'm not a mental health practitioner, but I'm just like, look, this is what happened to me. Maybe you can apply it in your life and don't do what I did, you know.
So we're a very similar age, Shane. So we would have been both in school, in secondary school, in the mid-90s, you know, that kind of age. And it's so true. There was the teachers at the time, they never ever thought, oh, is there anything going on with that person in their life?
Yeah.
Like, even for me, right? Yeah. So I had a bit of weight on me in secondary school. Now, looking back, I didn't at all. But at the time, I felt very self-conscious of PE and all the rest. And you'd be bringing in the notes to try and get out of doing PE. And the teacher would just humiliate you in front of everybody, instead of like trying to find out, well, what's going on here, you know?
It was actually something like that, which it kind of did culminate with a teacher saying, if I'd have known what you said, I wouldn't be teaching you either. I did eventually find a teacher to teach me my maths for my leaving cert, but he did say that eventually, because the word had gone around the class and the staff room, and I just felt, look, if they think I'm a scumbag, I might as well leave. So there was a little bit of self-preservation, but look, the generation before us had it a little harder than us again.
Absolutely,
you know, at least. But I couldn't understand, even with teachers that were saying, look, if I could give you a belt, I would give you a belt. I didn't think that was an appropriate way to be dealing with young adults, to say, if I could still be violent with you, I would be violent. That only happened one or two occasions I saw with other people. But listen, I've made my peace with school. I've made my peace with all of those things, and, you know, learn from my mistakes, I suppose, is a big lesson in life. And kids are harsh on judging themselves at the moment, because they're carrying around a computer in their pocket for 24 hours of the day, and a lot of the times these situations have already happened with the kids that we're dealing with, or the people in colleges, about judging themselves harshly. But reaching out and asking for help, you should never be embarrassed to do it.
There's no doubt about it. There's definitely some of them who are going to school and they are just pains in the backsides and using every excuse. Like, there's no reason for them, their bad behaviour, and some of them treat the teachers like dirt as well. So there's not always a reason.
Well, we were addressing that in the play that we did last year, and I think I might have missed the ball on it. Did I need to say I'm addressing bad male behaviour by why are you behaving badly? You know what I mean? So, like, there's always a reason behind why people are being a certain way, and sometimes people are idiots, you know, that's fair enough.
A lot of the time,
a lot of it, but, you know, my main thing is, if I'm going into any corporate setting or any company, I don't want to be patronising. I don't want to talk down to anybody. So open up the discussion and asking people, like, would you help your friend if they need help? And 90% of the kids say yes. Some of them say it depends on what the situation is. A lot of them say, well, how am I with my friend this week? But then when I turn the question and flip it on them to say, will you ask for help if you need help? I've gone to schools where none of them have said they'll ask for help. That's not good enough. We, our responsibility as adults, we've let them down if they're reluctant to ask for help, you know. So it is important to have these discussions, and whether it's myself or a mental health practitioner, or just opening up the floor to kids in school to go, look, the teachers are saying, if you have a problem, you can come to us and can help it. So maybe these guys who are behaving badly don't realise that there's other ways of getting help, or, you know, maybe there is something behind it.
They must nearly die when you rock up to the school and they're like, jeez, it's your man from the Young Offenders. I can't believe it.
Yeah, there's an initial shock. And then I say, look, do you know who I am? And they all tend to say yes. And then some people clearly don't know who I am. So I get to explain to them what I'm about, how the show came about Peter Foote creating the show. And that's why everybody else knows me. So, and then when I get into the core of the workshop, there is a kind of an enjoyment, and then there's a realization, oh, there's a little bit more going on here than Billy Murphy fella. So it's very, very rewarding. I had an opportunity of being in the Cala and Ballincollig, and I had the opportunity of being in Bantry the other morning, and it's very, very rewarding to have somebody coming up to you saying, I really, really enjoy that. Even the teachers or the practitioners that are involved in schools and colleges saying, we enjoyed that, because there is a little bit of a shock tactic of having the guy that was on television coming in giving a talk.
It makes them listen.
It's great fun.
Yeah.
It's great fun. It's a little bit subversive because they don't know what they're getting, but I think they are walking away going, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Are you there all day taking the selfies?
No, you know what? They're very good. They know themselves. We generally get one big class photo, and if they want one, I'm happy to take photographs. It's brilliant. You know, it's part of the gig. And I'm happy to be to do that. I suppose it would be something if nobody wanted them. You know what I mean?
Shane, I didn't think that we were going to go down that road. I didn't know that you were going to have that story to tell me. But congratulations on being Cork Person of the Year. And I hope to see you in the studio soon. It was great fun having you in the last day. We're enjoying the music
I'd
and
love
having
that.
The chats. I'm Billy Murphy.
Yeah, no. I'm Billy Murphy. It's good to talk.
See you now, Shane. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you, Dina.
It's Ireland's Classic Kids Radio.